Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. According to analysis by the Guttmacher Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit research group, teen pregnancy is on the rise. Joining us today to talk about this issue is Dr. Richard Hennigan, OBGYN. Dr. Hennigan has written a unique and contemporary story that involves a subject he is very familiar with. Over his years in practice, Dr. Hennigan has taken care of many teenagers with unplanned pregnancies. No matter what decision the family they finally arrived at regarding the fate of their pregnancy, most are affected by their choice for many years to come. Gestation Unborn Hostage highlights in one character, Anitha, all three of the paths a pregnant teen can take. Dr. Richard Hennigan has been working in the field of obstetrics and gynecology for 28 years and brings to the table experiences that he has personally dealt with, numbering unplanned pregnancy, teen pregnancy, illegal drug use in pregnancy, prescription drug abuse by parents, problems that face infertile couples, absent fathers, stress the modern physician faces, especially in OBGYN, new technologies to avoid hysterectomies, and the rising cost of health care. Dr. Hennigan, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm glad to have you on the show. I really enjoyed your book. It was so intense, and I love the way it really allowed the reader to explore these issues that are so pertinent in such a creative way, and I just want to compliment you on that. Now, Dr. Hennigan, when did you first create the character of Anitha? When did you start, you know, thinking about making this, you know, character for your book?
Well, I wanted to write a story that I had a lot of experience with, so I could add a lot of dimensions to it. And when I first got the idea of a young girl being kidnapped and kept in a basement for the whole pregnancy, I was, you know, first of all looking for a name to put to this person who is going through the unplanned pregnancy. And oddly enough, my wife had just purchased three chickens and named one of them Anitha.
Oh.
And I liked the name, so I picked that for the character.
Oh, it's
but
a
the character
name.
Herself, I guess I just wanted to craft a young girl who was, you know, like a lot of teen girls, narcissistic, but she also was in a very bad situation in a blended family with a cruel stepfather, and wanted to have her act out, and then over the course of the book, have her come to a spiritual and emotional and physical awakening, left alone in that basement for so many months.
Yeah, I mean, when working with the girls that you see, do you have a chance to really counsel them? Is that part of your part of the work that you do? And what kind of emotions do you see?
Well, especially the very young teen girls, most of them are pretty quiet. I think, you know, there's just a lot of fear involved in what they're about to go through, and they're in a situation that they really don't want to be in, most of them. You know, occasionally one of them are doing it to try and get out of the house or whatever, but they're mostly just afraid, and most of my job, I think, is just reassurance and education with them. And if they, you know, bring up a situation, a social situation at home, I do have a chance to counsel them some.
Oh, that's good. Now, when did you first get interested in wanting to be an OBGYN?
When I was a medical student, I went to San Antonio and University of Texas. And the OBGYN rotation, I just found I was pretty good at what was required, and enjoyed the rotation. And I think a couple of months after I finished it, I got an award for the outstanding student in my year. So it was a combination of doing something that required some surgery, a lot of medical care, and, you know, like the OB part, taking care of a patient their whole pregnancy, delivering their baby, but also the GYN part where I got to do some surgery. So it was a mix of the two, and I found myself, you know, not only liking it, but seeming to have some sort of, you know, a knack for it, too.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned a moment ago about being able to, through the book, seeing Anitha and seeing her spiritual awakening while she's in that basement. Have you worked with girls that maybe they decided to have an abortion or they didn't and then they decided to keep the baby or they gave, you know, the baby up for adoption. I mean, obviously you must have seen all of these things, but have you seen them all within the same girl, like where she's really kind of going up and down versus just, this is what I know, I'm going to keep the baby or I know I'm going to have an abortion?
Yes. One of the first patients I took care of with an adoption, she had gone to an abortion clinic. In fact, her father had flown her around the country trying to get an abortion because he didn't find out she was pregnant until she was pretty far along.
Oh.
A lot of teens can hide pregnancies for about 5 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. First pregnancy, they're, you know, most of the abdominal muscles are still pretty tight, and it's kind of hard to tell. So anyway, he tried to get her to get an abortion, couldn't find anybody to do it as late as she was.
I would hope not.
I
shouldn't put my politics in here, but that just seems a little, sorry, but that's just, wow.
Pretty far along, yeah.
Yes.
So she decided to adopt the baby out, and I met the parents that were going to, the prospective parents that were going to adopt it, and she went along and had the baby, and when I came to see her the very first day, this boy who had gotten her pregnant and had been out of the picture for months showed up and said he wanted to marry her, so she was going to change her mind.
Oh.
So that was pretty intense because I knew the prospective parents and how, you know, they really wanted this baby and they'd been infertile. And
oh, that's so hard.
Yeah, so it was pretty intense. She eventually came around and decided to give it up for adoption because the boy ended up being like a lot of young boys. He's very immature and sounded good for a day or two, you know, to be a daddy, but then
I was about to say the reality of it. And how much support do you see from parents? Or do you see a lot of teen girls that don't have a strong family that they can fall back on?
Most of the ones that I see have gotten past the point where the parents have done the wailing and gnashing of teeth and wanting them either to have a termination or not. So by the time I get them, I have one of two kinds of moms, and one of them is, strangely enough, a mom who's kind of ecstatic that her 15-year-old daughter's pregnant.
I can't imagine. Okay.
Kind of weird to me, but
yes.
This is the mom that comes in and, you know, is there to be supportive and be there, but she's not happy, and you can tell. And
oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of tension, but over time, those moms, you know, they'll relax and come to accept it usually, and they're not happy about it, but at the same time, they're not constantly, you know, throwing barbs at verbal barbs at the kid or whatever. So.
Oh, that's good. This must be really such an emotional job for you. And how was it? Was it cathartic to write the book and really get into these emotions of Anitha?
I think so. It allowed me to put down in writing a lot of emotions and situations and transformations in my patients I'd seen over the years. Some of the young girls, you can see that it's a life-changing event, not only, you know, for the fact they now have a child, but they also took the time to benefit from the experience and grow up some. So that was part of why I wrote Anitha the way that I did, is drawing from different characters I've seen over the years too. And then, you know, not giving away the end, but
yeah,
I've had good and tragic outcomes, and you know, there's the highs and lows that go with a job like this. And you know, when a patient walks into the office one day and she's, you know, close to her due date, and the baby's no longer alive, that's a traumatic thing to go to.
That is heartbreaking. Do you do counseling with them in that situation? In addition to, I would assume they must, you know, do they have a regular counselor that helps them out if they do lose a baby that far along, or even with miscarriages? I mean, I think people downplay how traumatic that can be. I've had several friends that have had miscarriages, and they're just not really understood. I think that's still a big loss.
Yeah, it can be a very big loss to a lot of women. And one of the things we do at a first visit with a newly pregnant patient is an ultrasound to make sure that there's one baby and how big it is, and you know, make sure there's a heartbeat. And, you know, from time to time, you put the ultrasound in, and there on the screen is a baby that's not alive. So, you know, it's like 6 to 8 weeks, and people think, well, no big deal. But that's very traumatic to people.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And would you say that the teens that you see, do you talk to them about birth control? Did they use birth control, would you say, and it didn't work, or did they just not use birth control? I find that really interesting.
You know, it's the majority of them don't use birth control. And it comes in pregnant, and you ask them when their last period was, and then you ask them if they were using birth control, and they say no. And so you say, well, so you were trying to get pregnant? And they're like, no. You were sexually active, yes. So,
oh, my gosh. You know, I used to be a sex educator, and I would go and travel around the community and just high schools and community groups and talk about chlamydia and all the other STDs and safe sex and all the, you know, condoms and everything. And, yeah, it's just amazing to me that with everything that we know now that people are still not practicing safe sex. I don't know, it boggles my mind.
Yeah, I've been to high schools, too, and the girls tell you, I don't want to take the pill or use birth control because then people will think I'm a slut.
Oh, no.
You're like, really? And,
yeah.
You know, most of them admit the first time they had intercourse is there's alcohol involved. So.
Yeah, I know. There's so many things that are going on, and today's society is crazy. I mean, I have a six-year-old daughter, and it just scares me. I mean, the shows like the Jersey Shore and the such trash that just, I mean, what's it just basically, and I sound like an old lady here, but just basically teaches kids to be really promiscuous and drink and be careless and dumb.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a really sad reflection on what's going on. And I think it's so nice to speak with a doctor like you who really cares about his patients and has written this wonderful book, you know, to let people kind of into the minds of what's going on for a young girl who finds herself in this situation. And Dr. Hennigan, what would you want listeners to really take away from the book and just from understanding what teenage girls who are pregnant go through in general?
Well, probably the main thing I'd like people to take away is that even though a teen is responsible for getting themselves to where they are, that they're still very complex choices in front of them, and no, you know, like you read earlier, there's no easy way out. It doesn't matter what method they choose. I have women come in guilty about abortions in the past, guilty about giving up their babies for adoption, and you know, it's just a very traumatic time for them. And so, in what I'd like for them to take away in the book is that even though someone can want to initially terminate the pregnancy, for instance, that when that life starts growing inside them, they go through feelings and emotions and, you know, in part spiritual experiences that are unique to women in the process of a pregnancy. And that's why I think at the end, at the end of the book, the finishes or the ending is so intense because the reader has been drawn to this girl who's gone through this process in detail in the book. And
yes.
So
it's very intense.
Yes. And, yeah, I'd just like the reader to take away what women go through, and especially a young teen girl, what she goes through in a pregnancy.
Yeah, because definitely some understanding is in order, and it obviously sounds like some education. And I just am curious, what do you think about these abstinent-only programs?
Well, I think that's a great way to get back to maybe a little more sane way of dealing with STDs and pregnancy. I mean, you know, we have a society where our kids are reproductively able to have kids when they're 14 years old, and yet socially they're supposed to wait till they're out of college when they're married and have, you know, then have sex for the first time. So there's a happy medium somewhere in between, but I think any form of contraception that's taught in school, you know, it's just one of the options that they have, and I think that's, it's not a long-term solution once kids are older, but... you know,
yes.
Especially for the younger ones, they need to be taught that as one of the ways that they can avoid getting pregnant and avoid STDs.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think my thing with the abstinence only is tough is if they're not allowed to teach them about STDs and only abstinence. I mean, what I would do when I was working for this wonderful place called Health Quarters, which is a nonprofit, and it's about five clinics in Massachusetts as a sex educator, we teach abstinence and also, you know, if you're going to have sex, how to be safe, because you have to be realistic. And I think it's unrealistic to expect kids to wait till they're married. I mean, I'm not a religious person, so it's easy for me to say that, but I like to think, you know, in love, older, a little bit older, not 14.
Right. Well, you know, to me, when I have grown daughters, and what I tried to tell them is you're not emotionally ready. Even though you're physically ready,
mm-hmm.
you're not emotionally ready. And it's a very tough issue, but I agree with you 100%. They have to be taught safe sex. You have to be realistic at the same time. But, that, you know, abstinence is just one option.
Yes, definitely. Well, I want to thank you so much. And Dr. Hennigan, I really encourage people to get your wonderful book. It's just, it was fascinating. And it's just, you know, Gestation, Unborn Hostage. I remember I looked at the cover and I was like, unborn, I was confused. I was like, what is this about? And it's like, oh, wow, this is a real page turner. And it's very emotional. You get very emotionally invested in the characters. And you almost feel sorry for the woman who kidnapped the girl. I mean, you don't want to, but she's
right.
just so demented, and it's sad
right.
that you know, you start feeling for her, but then I don't want to give any away. But anyway, I just want to thank you so much. And how can people learn more about you?
I have a website, www.richardhennigan.com. Go to Gestation Unborn Hostage on Amazon.
Oh, terrific. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.